We have quite the journey here in Isaiah chapter number 50. We have quite the conversation. We have prophecy. We have a lot of questions in Isaiah 50. We have encouragement. We have great admonition in Isaiah 50. And it really, this week in my reading, Isaiah 50 was something that God used in a tremendous way. And I'd just like to take a few minutes, as we consider what God has here in this and what is God saying for us today. Some of it is applicable to the nation of Israel, but that doesn't mean that if you're not from if you're not Jewish, that you can't be helped by it, and I'm not, so I've been helped by it. Some of it is that way. Some of it, as I said earlier, is prophetical. Things that were going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ are mentioned here in this particular chapter. The first thing that came to mind as I was reading this is it seems that it starts out in a very disconcerting time. Maybe a dark cloud is what we would call it that is above the people that this is being written to. It would appear that they are questioning that God has abandoned them. It talks about divorce here in this. It's not talking about necessarily divorce in the sense of a husband and a wife right now in our, but the word is a separation there, okay? And it seems as if there's a questioning in the mind of the people that God is abandoned them, that God has forgotten about them. And that would obviously, if we got to that place, that would obviously be a place in our life where it would be very challenging, discomforting. That's the word I was looking for. When we would get to a place in our life where we think that, you know, God is no longer in my life. You see that in verse number 50. He's basically questioning them, saying, you know, there's no proof of this. There's no right. Where are you seeing this? You know, he says in verse 50 there, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom have I put away? Who have I abandoned? Show me how I've abandoned you. And you know, all of us at times in our life, we can get to a place where we think, you know, God has allowed this to come into my life and God has allowed that to come into my life. And there's a difficulty, there's a challenge. It seems that God is no longer involved, or maybe we just don't hear from God, or we can't see God, or this dark cloud is over. And many times we can begin to question. Back up here a little bit. We can begin to question, you know, what happened, God? Where are you? And it's as if God here is saying to the nation of Israel, there's no proof of me abandoning you. Let me encourage you with that this morning. Not, God is never going to abandon His children. Whether it's the nation of Israel or whether it's the family of God, God has not abandoned anyone. God is doing all things for our good and for His glory. But there could be a challenging time in your life right now. There could be a challenging time in my life right now. And but yet here, notice what God says, and it's kind of a very challenging statement. That's not the word I want. A convicting statement, though. And it's what we need to come to in our life if we're going to see great victory and great peace in our life, and that God's going to be able to continue to advance in our own personal life. Notice how the writer here, the prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, says the word behold. Notice the word behold. In other words, let me show you where it's at. Let me show you where the difficulty is. You can't find anywhere where I've let you down. You can't find anywhere where I haven't provided for you. I haven't written a bill of divorcement. I'm not abandoning you. But then he says, behold. Here's the problem. And I say today to Christians in our midst, can I say today to all of us as the children of God, it'll never be God that has abandoned us, but it could be that we have abandoned God. It'll never be that God will let us down, but it could be that in some area of our life, we aren't what we are supposed to be for God. And how does this happen? The writer gives us two words. He says, behold, for your iniquities. For your iniquity. You know, the greatest place that you and I can come to is the place of personal responsibility for our actions. The greatest place that we can come to in our life is a personal responsibility for where we are in our walk with God. In other words, God has given His children every tool needed. Think about what God has given us. God has given us His Spirit. The moment you got saved, you were given the Holy Spirit of God. God has given us His infallible, inspired Word. You have it in your lap today. 66 books from cover to cover. God is all over that book from beginning to end and everything in between. It is God in print. God has given us a local church, and God has given us the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you not see it today? God has given us every tool. It isn't that we can go to God and say, God, what has happened with you? It should be us going to God and saying, God, what's happening with me? It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God, what iniquities are in my life? God, what apathy is in my life? God, what is in my life that needs to go? See, when the world sees Jesus in us, that's when we have revival. When the world sees in us a humility, look, it's not about me. It's not about you. The world doesn't need me. The world doesn't need you, but what the world needs is the God of this book right here. The world needs the Lord Jesus Christ who saved me. The world needs the Holy Spirit of God to come in and convict them and save them from sin. And so here we see, he says, it's your iniquities. Yeah, have ye sold yourselves. Notice, for your transgression. Look, God always has wanted to bless the people of Israel. Remember how it began in Genesis 12? Go back to Genesis 12. And by the way, God wants to bless His children today as well. Look at Genesis chapter 12. I won't take a long time on this, but It's interesting just to refresh ourselves, right? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Notice that. Get away from everything that is familiar. Get away from your family. Now, that doesn't mean you have to get away from your family, but this is how, you know, how it began here in the thinking of it. Get away from your what's comfortable. Get away from your land. I'm going to bring something into your life that is far greater than what you have now. Look at verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Notice, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Do you notice the common word there, or a form of it? Bless, blessed, bless, blessed. Over and over and over and over again, God wants to bless His people. And here He is to the same people in Isaiah 50, and He's saying, I haven't stopped wanting to bless you. I haven't stopped wanting to provide for you. But you, your iniquities. See, God doesn't bless sin. God doesn't bless a wicked lifestyle. God punishes sin. Why? Because He loves us. He chastises us. He corrects us. That's good, by the way. We need that. And so this morning, as we consider this text in Isaiah, I'm not sure what God is going to do in your heart, but I know what He's been doing in my heart throughout the week and throughout the previous weeks. And it's not so much of wondering, what about God? It's wondering, what about me? What is there about me that needs to be changed? What is there about me that God is working on? God still wants to bless His church. God's still saving lost people. God is still giving us everything that we need. He's provided everything that we need. He hasn't abandoned us. Sometimes we wonder, where is He? It's a dark moment. It's a challenging moment. Where is He? You see, Isaiah was giving a warning here in Isaiah chapter 50. Part of the warning really is at the end of the text. He says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, that walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. You know what we want to do? We want to, if we're in the dark right now, and that doesn't mean unsaved. You can be in the dark right now and be saved on your way to heaven, but be in the dark and not one. Where's the next step supposed to be? And you know what a lot of times I'm guilty of? I'm guilty of this. I want to light my own path so I can figure out where I'm going. God says, no, the better way is to stay in the dark and let me guide you. The better way, don't try to make your way. Don't try to make your path. Look, my word will guide you. My spirit will guide you. And so this is a great warning that is given to Isaiah. There's discouragement. There's drifting here. There's a walking by their own light. They were being told here in this text that the nation would be burned, and I know that's a timely thing right now, but burned by going their own way and using their own thinking. In other words, God has me in a place right now, and it might be dark all around me, but it's for His glory. It's for a great purpose. I don't need to try to fight my way out of it. I need to follow His voice. He talks about that. Let's work through this here. Verse 2. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? All of these questions have a kind of an obvious answer, right? They're all no. That's the answer. Is my hand unable to redeem? Is my hand unable to say? No, or have I no power to deliver? Earlier today, Pastor Nathan was praying about the hand of God. In the Sunday school hour, we talked about the power of God. Oh, my friend, God has all power. He doesn't need any of my help. He doesn't need any of your help. And I love that. Isn't that a great question? Have I no power to deliver? Again, the answer is no. He has all power to deliver. At my rebuke, I dry up the sea. Remember? Now he's going back and he's telling them about their history. Friends, if you've been saved for any length of time, and that could be 5 months, it could be 5 years, it could be 50 years. It doesn't matter how much time it's been. Every once in a while, we need to kind of go back in our memory bank and just remember what God has done for us. He says, don't you remember? I spoke, and though that Red Sea parted, and you walked across on dry ground. And don't you remember? I spoke, and those priests stepped in to the Jordan River, and the Jordan River parted, and Moses' rod parted the Red Sea. The point is this: God had provided for them time and time and time again. And as he says here in verse number 2, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there's no water, and dieth for thirst. God delivered them from Egypt. God delivered us from sin. God's delivered us. He's given us everything that we need. So how can we complain about how God is working today? How can we complain about how God is working in our life? Hey, the ways of God are difficult to understand. They're fast finding out. They're past finding out. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so I want to be someone who, I don't have to understand all the ways of God. I don't have to understand all the direction of God, but I want to have strong faith. Knowing, and by the way, my faith is not in just some mystical thing. My faith is not even in something that I can't touch. Folks, I can touch the Word of God. To me, the Word of God, that's God. We can touch the Word of God, and the Word of God touches us. And so I have no reason to doubt God. I have no reason to wonder what God is going to do. I have every reason to have great faith in God because of His Word and because of what He has done in my life personally. What can we question God for? That's what God is saying here to His people. Notice verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Notice, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. What is this? This is the disciple. He wakeneth my ear to hear, to learn. He wakeneth my ear to hear the words of life, to hear the words of God, to hear His scripture, to hear His direction. Whatever He needs me to hear, God is there. He's opening my ears every morning. Notice that, morning by morning, when we get up in the morning, God is already there. He has something ready for you and ready for me every morning. Look at verse number 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters. This is a prophetical verse about what Jesus Christ would go through. Notice, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. In other words, it's kind of like God is reminding Israel of what God has done for Israel, and then at the same time, God is saying, "This is what is coming in the life of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all for the sake of us." I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I'm thankful that God is continuing to speak today. God is continuing to work today in my life. Notice verse number 7, for the Lord God will help me. I've underlined that in my Bible, and I want to encourage you today with that. The Lord God will help you. He is your ever-present help in time of need. When no one else is available, God is always available. Don't go to people before you go to God. Yes, thankfully you can call the pastor. You can call the assistant pastor. You can call a brother or sister in Christ. Praise God for that. We can help. We can pray. We want to. But look, God is way before that. God is our ever-present help. He is never busy. Or I should say, He's never too busy. Maybe He is always busy. But He's never too busy. Isn't that something? He's always there. I love that statement. For the Lord God will help me. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I'm not going to let the life that is before me confuse me. I'm not going to let the life that is before me get me off track. Why? Because God is helping me. God has put this in my life. God has put this health issue in my life. God has put this emotional issue in my life. God has put this change in my life. God has allowed it to come into my life. I'm not going to let it get me off track because I know God's helping me. I know God is right there with me. And I love this statement in verse 7. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. It's time that we as God's children, again, because we remember, we recognize, we see all that God is doing, and we see that it is not God that has abandoned me, that I have abandoned Him, and I come back to Him, and I repent of the sin in my life, and I get back into that fervent relationship with God and reading His Word every day, but not just reading it, but really digesting it and putting it into practice every day, and I'm a witness, and I'm trying to live the Christian life, trusting God to help me to live the Christian life, that we recognize anew and afresh. Here, we set our face like a flint. It means I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though no one go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. I'm setting my face like a flint. I'm keeping my eyes on the master of the sea. I'm keeping my eyes on the creator of the universe. I'm keeping my eyes on the one who gave His life for me. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He will never fail me. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Isn't that a comforting thought? Who will contend with me? I have the Lord Jesus by my side. What can defeat me with the gospel, with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His might on my side? Who is mine adversary? We have one, yes. We have an adversary. But again, as the Lord Jesus Christ being our ever-present help, we are able to live in victory. Notice verse 9. Behold, again, same statement. The Lord God will help me. The Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. It's dark. They think God has abandoned them. They can't see their way. We're in a time of transition again at Anchor Baptist Church. First day of August 2021, and this is an unusual situation, but we know God is good, right? We know God is helping us. But this type of setup isn't going to last, be able to last in the wintertime probably. We could easily wonder, what has God done? We could easily wonder, has God forgotten? We could be tempted to think those things. But really, here's the crux of the matter. Here's the bottom line to all of this in verse number 10. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay. Notice the word stay. Anchor. The name of this church has been anchored in Jesus for 20 plus years. That's got to stay the same. We've got to stay anchored in Jesus. And I'm maybe preaching to myself today because I'm battling this right now, and I'm maybe preaching to me right now, and I'm the one who's maybe in a questioning God in some ways in my own personal life, and maybe you're helped by it today, but I'm just saying this is the journey that God took me on the last couple of weeks in Isaiah 50, and I'm still taking this journey, and I'm wondering, what does God have in store? And yes, I know God is helping me, and I don't have to be confounded, but here's the bottom line. When I come down to verse number 10, it's as if God just took his hand and just put it right on top of me and said, okay, here it is. You've got to trust in my name. Don't trust in your name. Don't trust in the name of the church. Don't trust in anybody's name. Trust in my name. And notice, stay. And again, I come back to our logo, the anchor. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Go over there quickly. Hebrews 6, let's go over there quickly. Hebrews 6. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, strong encouragement, strong edification, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have? The whole context is about our God. Verse 17 says that, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, it doesn't change. That's what that word immutability means. The whole context, as we come to verse 19, is the unchanging God, the truth, all truthful God, the all encouraging God. Verse 18, that's the hope that we have. That's the anchor of the soul. That gives us surety. That keeps us steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil. We go back and we can put a little mark beside Isaiah 50:10. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. God is our anchor. The word of God is still powerful. The Word of God is still convicting. The Word of God is still encouraging. The Word of God is meeting every need. I've got to stop walking by the light of my own torch. I've got to turn away from some old lights, maybe, that we're tempted to trust. You know, when there's any money at all in the bank account, we can tend to trust in the fact that we've got a little bit of money in the bank account. Is that where we're supposed to trust? No. God said here, trust me. Trust my name. Trust my work. Trust my word. I've got to walk by the light of His voice. And if I'm not in the Word of God, how am I going to know His voice? I'm saying this about me in the first person, but I'm saying it to you as well. The voice of vision. Oh, I'm praying God would give us vision as a church. I'm encouraged by the vision of some men in my life and the vision of some pastors in my life, not comparing myself to them, but being challenged by their vision. One in particular, I won't mention his name because it's not important. It's important that his vision is pointing me to the vision of the Lord for my own personal life. But there's a man in my life whose vision is such a challenge to me. Some of the things that he's trying to do for the Lord, I look at it and I think, man, that's impossible. But man, your vision is just, it's convicting me. And I say, that's the vision I want to have. You see, the problem is when I'm looking at my light, my vision is weak. But when I'm looking at His light, my vision can be so high because it's not about what I can see, about what I know God can do. And God can do anything but fail. The voice of vision, turn, trust. This morning, this afternoon, whatever we are right now, turn, trust, take the next step for God. Look to the cross, realize today that God has everything under control. And He's doing everything with and for and with purpose. We can't see everything God is doing today. I don't have to know everything that God is doing today, by the way. What do I need to do? Trust Him regarding everything that He's doing today. Stay. Stay, as it says there. Stay upon Him. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. No, that's not Psalm 119:105. Maybe it is. Let me just check. Yes, it is. Still that. Okay. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the light I need, not my own light. God's word shows me where I need to walk. Psalm 18:28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. It's not my light, it's His light in the darkness. It's not my trying to figure it out, it's my trusting Him. He may just light it for tomorrow and not for the next day until the next day comes. It's amazing how our lives can change in one day. But God knows that all way before it happened. It's Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproof there means convict. God's discipline is training me today. Training me to trust Him more. I guess really the theme of this morning's message is, whose light are you following? You can follow your own light. I can follow my own light. I'm guilty of that. Or I can follow God's light. He says, I will light the way. Stay by me. I will help you. Stay by me.